I did. So, how are we?
Yeah, good.
Oh, now I'm really loud.
Yeah, very good.
I thought, you know, I've got to get up. I think we should all just close our eyes for a minute. And I want you to breathe two big breaths. This time of year gets pretty crazy, doesn't it? We're so full on. Life seems to get pretty hectic, and sometimes we forget to breathe and just sit in God's presence. You know, this we do life at this time of year for family because we love to gather around family. We love to go barbecues. We put on events and stuff, but we sometimes get so busy doing that we forget to just sit and breathe and spend time with God. There's a verse that I read this morning, well, not this morning, throughout the week, that it says in Isaiah 66, verse 2, "This is the one I esteem, who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." Quite often we can hear the same scripture or hear the same story, but its potency is lost on us because we've heard it before. I think we need to get to a place where we can sit and breathe and allow God's word to just make us tremble. And so this morning, my prayer is that His word makes you tremble, because it is His word that is powerful. God, I ask you this morning that you will speak to your people through your word, that we can breathe and rest in your presence as family, but that we can put aside the hectic schedules that we have and the plans that we have, Father God, but we can just spend this time soaking up what is so powerful, your spoken word to us. It is your word that brings life, that changes lives, that is so important and valuable. Help us to take that time to sit in and soak in it. And so we just ask this morning that our eyes and our ears and our hearts be open to your word this morning. That it will move us and shake us, and that we will be in awe of who you are, God. That we step into the presence that once was closed off. We couldn't access that, Father God. That you tore the veil that allowed us to step through for what Jesus did for us on the cross, and it gave us access. And yet before that, the mere stepping into your presence, if you weren't who God called to be in his presence, you probably didn't walk out. You know, that's how powerful your presence is. And God, we want to step into that this morning. We want to have your word shake us to the core. Yes. We want to just have our hearts beat with your beat, and just have a great time with you this morning. So we ask for your presence in your precious name. Amen. It's awesome. Wasn't last week's message a goodie? Man, I was sitting there listening to it. My spirit was just going, yeah, this is so exciting. So like Phil said, I encourage you, if you haven't heard it or you weren't here on Sunday, man, God was sharing his heart. God had shared through Phil a vision for our church, his church, his family. God was sharing a piece of his DNA with us in his heart. And as a body, as a family, I really feel strongly that we need to meditate on that over and over again. There are some very valuable key statements for me that Phil presented, that, you know, I need to turn these things into fridge magnets and bookmarks and all these little posters around my wall, so that we can get it into our core, that it becomes part of our DNA, that becomes our God's DNA, becomes in us what he wants us for us as a church. So can I encourage you that to listen to it over and over and over again, meditate on it, because it's a picture of what God's calling us to in the future, and we need to partner with that and get on board. And my prayer is that, yeah, we absorb that and it becomes part of us.
Yeah,
you know, a revelation of a vision is always followed by a journey. That was one of Phil's key statements. You can't go on a journey by sitting still. You can't go on a journey without embracing what it means to be on that journey. You know, Frodo Baggins out of The Lord of the Rings, he took a journey on to take this ring to the Mount Mordor. But he had to be prepared to go through off that journey. He had to knew what the cost was probably going to look like. And it wasn't a simple go to A to B. And this morning, I want to talk about that one key statement, that or one of the key statements that Phil said, that a revelation of a vision always is followed by a journey. Bill Hybels says that vision is a picture of the future that produces passion, creates passion. And so when I was sitting there hearing what God was speaking to us, sharing his heart, my spirit was going, yes and amen, and it was jumping up for joy. It was exciting because I could picture, I could see what it looked like in my own way, in my own, through my own lens. And I was excited. And I said, man, that's a journey I want to be a part of. That's something that I want to partner with. That's something that I want to step forward into and pursue that. So I pray that you guys do the same. The part of the vision that I started looking at first was the end. I'm a kind of a big picture person, so I will look to the end to see what it looks like. And it went all the way out to 2030. And even saying that number feels a little bit futuristic. You know, you think all these movies that have these scenes that are way out in the future, they've got flying cars and teleportation. For me, 2030 is one of those numbers that's like, whoa, that's miles away. And yet in 3 weeks' time, it's only 13 years. It's not that far at all. You know, we're just about to enter into 2017. 2030 is only 13 years away. And so I started thinking about that from my perspective. What does that look like if we were to take our church right now 13 years in advance? Not worried about the growth, not worried about extra numbers or anything, but what would it look like right now? And for some of us, that could be a bit of a scary picture if we were to just jump through time. But I looked at it in the light of 2030 and in regards to the vision that God had given Phil and my role here currently as the children's ministry leader, being involved within the youth over the last 6 months. What's that going to look like? Oh, she's raining. Glad I'm not shifting today. But But in 13 years, I've got 4-year-olds out there in the zone who are going to be 17. You know, I've got 12-year-olds who are going to be 25. We have 18-year-olds in the youth who will be 31. These are the ones that are going to, we need as adults to bring along this journey in 13 years. We need to be partnering with them, finding ways to include them, finding ways to just mentor them and disciple them, because some of these could be the ones that are sitting beside our mayor praying for them. They could be our future doctors. They could be our principals or our school teachers in places of influence and transformation. And so we need to partner with these young guys. We need to be serving them. And I've been doing it for about 6+ years out in the zone, and I've learned so much from them. They have got dreams. They have got God-given visions. And we need to do all that we can to embrace them and to encourage them. So I'm asking that we rally around these young guys, that we include them. Because in 13 years' time, when we reach 2030 and we're looking at transformation, you know, Phil stated that transformation is that when the public recognizes and acknowledges that the kingdom culture sustains community. When they actually recognize that what we are doing is helping to shape our town in a positive way. These young guys are going to be right smack bang in the middle of that. And we need to help them. We need to invite them along in the journey. Some of you have got hearts for children and to serve. Can I encourage you to get involved and serve them and build them up and encourage them? Because we've got 45+ kids out there most Sundays. And they are on fire. They love to hear stories about God. They come out of there hearing stories about David and Goliath, and that David defeated the giant. They heard stories about Moses. We've all heard those stories. And the miracles that he performed, or God performed through him. They hear all the stuff that Jesus did. And they think, yeah, I can do that. I can be used by God like that. That's what they see in the Bible, and they want to be able to experience that out and transform people's lives. And we need to tell them, yes, you can. God is in you. Yes, you can. And we need to encourage them and build them up. When God gave Joseph his dream in Genesis 37, he was 17 years old. And what happened? Shall we have a look at Genesis 37? Verse 5, I think it kicks off. So here we have Joseph. He had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even the more for it. What was their response? They said to him down in verse 8, his brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him the more for it. We're going to have kids that have God-given dreams. And that God's going to place a vision in their heart and a vision in their spirit of what they have the potential to do, that God wants them to do. And we have the ability to squash it by our words. And I need to encourage us that we don't do that. The vision that God had for Joseph was probably so big that he couldn't comprehend it, and yet his brothers couldn't handle it. He then had another dream, and his father, the one who loved him the most, rebuked him. And we get the hindsight of seeing the whole story and how it all panned out, but we're going to have these young people with dreams and visions. And so I see 2030 as a place where they will have influence, and they will have a great part to play, and we need to build them and not squash them. Most of us have probably had visions or dreams, God visions and dreams that's birthed in us, and for some reason it's been squashed. Someone's told you that, no, yeah, that's never going to work, that's too big, or it's out of your scope, you don't actually have the skill or the strength to do that. But that's the good thing about God's vision, because it's got to be bigger than us for God to be able to reveal himself through it. If we do it in our own strength, then it just works. You know? So if God's put you something on your heart that is miles too big, that's amazing. Say yes and amen and walk towards it. Because he will provide everything that we need to walk in it. Don't let the naysayer say, nah, that can't be done, or that's too big. Squash your dreams. Be like Joseph. Be humble. Be committed. Because his dream didn't end up going the way it probably thought. The journey probably didn't look the way that he had expected it to look. So we need to encourage these guys. Some of us need to re-look at some of the dreams and visions that God has spoken into us that we have allowed to be squashed, or others have squashed them and thought that, no, we can't do it. No, you can't, but God can. So let's pick them back up. Okay? One of the greatest miracles that Jesus performed, one of the most prominent miracles for me, is with the healing of the blind man. Because the one thing I think that the enemy wants to do is to take away your vision, take away your sight. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people will perish. You know, and as a Kiwi culture, we have that tall poppy syndrome that if someone pokes their head up too high, we whack it down to bring them all in line. But we've got visions. God's given you dreams, and the enemy will do everything he can to rob you of that and to steal that from you in order to perish. But one of God's and Jesus' greatest miracles was healing the blind man to restore his sight. Some of us are blind. We can't see. We've forgotten what our visions and our dreams look like. And I believe this morning that God wants to create an opportunity for us where he can restore your sight. That he can give you back your dreams. That you can pick them back up again. Knowing that he's going to be the one who moves it forward. You know? So I think there's going to be an opportunity later on where God wants us to restore our sight. And we need to take that up this morning. See, Joseph had his dream and his visions, and then his journey started. You know, like Phil said, a revelation of your vision is always followed by a journey. His journey probably didn't play out the way that he thought it was going to play out. If you have a look at his story, he got thrown into a pit by his brothers. Then his brothers sold him into slavery. Then he had the attempted seduction by Potiphar's wife, who then accused him of Joseph trying to force himself on her. Then he was thrown into prison. And then we have the cupbearer who had promised to mention Joseph to Pharaoh after Joseph interpreted his dreams. The cupbearer said, tell Pharaoh about you. And he forgot about him for 2 years. How do you forget about someone for 2 years? And yet, all throughout Joseph's journey, he stayed humble, he stayed God-focused, he didn't become prideful and arrogant, and you see God's favor all throughout his story. God elevated Joseph to the highest positions in every single area of his life. Yes, the journey was tough. No one wants to sit in prison, but he got elevated to a place within that prison of responsibility, transformation, and influence. The interesting thing that God revealed to me is that he was 30 years old when he entered the service of the king. Had his dream at 17. Entered into the place of transformation and influence in Egypt at the age of 30. That's 13 years. 13 years to 2030. A lot can happen. But Joseph was in a place where not one thing was done without his say-so. No hand, no foot was lifted without going through Joseph. A place where, as a church in 2030, we can be an influence into this town. That the kingdom culture that we have can be so influential into this town that everything goes through the church. You know? How big is God's vision? Well, I can't articulate it. I don't know what it looks like. I can dream and I can have visions of, man, it would be cool to be involved in here, but I believe God's got so much more. But the journey is what we're going to look at this morning, because it doesn't look like the way I pictured it should go. You know, most of you know that our journey over the last 5 years has been pretty crazy, but more importantly from April in regards to our house, when God said to us in the season, right, you're into a new season, because we've had 4 years of pretty hardship, we would say, is for us. And God said, that's going to be a new home and a new season. And so, because of my past experience, when we moved into the house prior, Shani and I sat around the table and said, you know, we only had a small family of four children at the time in a three-bedroom house. And and we said to each other, we've outgrown this place, you know, it's just a little family, but we're in this small house. And so we sat there right then and we opened up the courier. There was a house. We rang up about it, knew the people. They said, I've just finished showing the last people through. You can come out and have a look at it. If you want it, it's yours. Raced out there within sort of 30, 40 minutes, had the house. We were there for 8 years. All happened within an hour. So my expectation, yeah, of God said, new season, new house, I was thinking, man, this is going to be cool. Let's get that courier out and have a look. June comes along. God says to me, no, you need to step things up. You need to really start preparing yourselves to shift. You know, God, give me a vision of a new house and a new season. And I was walking towards that, getting a little bit frustrated with the time frame. Happened so quick last time. So I said to Shani, you know, God's really saying that we need to step things up. We need to actually start packing. We need to start cleaning up. My kids get involved and we do that. 2 weeks later, I'm frustrated. What is happening? You know, we're living out of boxes already. And so Shani and I, we got before God. Instead of trying to do it in our own strength, we always go back to God and say to him, God, look, I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you and I have faith in you. I want to stay diligent. I want to stay peaceful and obedient. Can you reveal to me what you want, what we're supposed to do? Because I know your vision, but I'm not sure how we're supposed to get there. 3 days later, our landlord comes up and says, sorry, guys, I'm going to have to evict you out of our property. We need to move back in. And I was excited, absolutely stoked, because God heard my prayer and he answered my prayer. You know, so we had till the September the 10th to get out. September the 9th comes along, I ring our landlord and say to him, hey, look, when do you want to meet? The following day, you know, so we can sign out and do the last little checks of our house. And he said, where are you living? I said, oh, I don't know yet. We shift tomorrow, but we have no idea where we're going. Still knowing that God at the instant can open up a door. Still believing that God can, and hoping that God was going to just bring our house into, you know, into reality just like that, because that's our God can do that. And he said, look, do you want an extension? We don't actually have to move in for a couple of weeks. And so in my stubbornness said, I'll call you back, because I've got the 10th of September in my head and I don't want to disappoint God by going through something in my own strength. And so I seek some wisdom, and they said, maybe that's part of God's plan. Maybe for some reason your house is not ready yet. Maybe God's dealing with somebody on the other side, or maybe God wants to teach you something in here. So we ring up and say, yeah, I'd love that extension to the 17th, so that's cool. And so we do that. I had my brother shift out of his little house in town here on the 16th, because I believe you have to serve someone else's vision in order for yours to be implemented or outworked. You really can't. It's hard to serve your own vision. You've got to walk towards it. And so I wanted to serve my brother, because I know that, you know, serving's cool. And the very next day we needed some help shifting, so I needed to, you know, help him as well. So he moves out of his house on Friday, and that's cool. We do that. Friday afternoon I ring him and see how's he settling in, and his tenants that were moving in the next day pulled out. And so he said, you can have our house in town for 3 weeks if you like, because we've got new people coming in, but they're not for 3 weeks. And I was sitting there going, oh, that's cool, that's awesome. But my stubbornness was, again, God's going to open up a door just like that for the big house that we've been praying for. Big 5-bedroom place. You know, we've got lots of kids now. You know, double bathrooms, everything that we needed. Not being greedy, the things that we needed before God. In the country, we love the country, we're loud, we homeschool. You don't want us near you. And so we were praying these things. And so a 3-little-bedroom place in town? No. That can't possibly what God had for us. So I didn't do anything about it. The day we were moving out on the 17th, it rained. There was quite a few of you that came and helped us out. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, still had nowhere to go. And I seek some more vision. Maybe God wants you to go into town in this 3-little-bedroom house for a few weeks. Maybe still your place is not ready. Maybe still someone that God wants to teach you. So we shift within 3 hours into this little 3-bedroom house in town, right near train tracks. Everything is noisy. And I take a carload of my own furniture by myself, because I want to have words with God. Have you had words with God? Yeah. I had some choice ones. I was mad. I was wild. I was frustrated. I was lost. It's life, you know, I understand that. But my expectations I had of God were boxed a little bit for what my vision looked like and what I wanted to, and God's, you know, humbled me very quickly, and I got into our new house and God said to me, no, there's a reason you're here. And so I let it go and I praised God and I thanked him. And 3 weeks nearly came up and we have realized that we were here for a purpose. My children. Came to life. Their friends just around the corner. And we realized, because we're so busy in the evenings with, oh, you name it, there's youth, there's rally, there's soccer. We're in 3 or 4 times a week. And God says, no, this is the season that you're in. You need to be in town. And so once we understood that and we actually opened our eyes a little bit further, we could see what God was doing. And so we had 3 weeks of living in this little bungalow on top of each other. One bedroom was chock-a-full of boxes. The other bedroom had 3 kids. One had 2, and the rest 4 of us slept in the lounge. But it was great. We had an absolute blast. Shani and I, for the first time, were able to walk around our streets and local neighborhood and just, you know, just enjoy it. And we walked down College Street. and think to ourselves and say to ourselves, man, this street's amazing. We would love to live here. God, we could live here. And carry on doing our journey. 3 weeks pops up, and we have nowhere to go. Thankfully, we have great friends that were able to store all our furniture for a few weeks until we figured out we moved in with the Atwoods, 14 people under one house. Bless them. For a couple of weeks. And we're praying, God, I don't know what you're going to do. We had done 2 loads out, and a lady rings us. And says, I've been praying for you guys, and I know a lady that owns a number of houses in town. I rang her to see if anything was available, and she has one that's just come up available yesterday. Ring her about it. And so she had told her our story. So we rang this lady, and she was super lovely. Had a 5-bedroom house, 2 bathrooms, 2 lounges, fully fenced section, and was on College Street. And she said, it's yours. You can have it. There's a lady that's in there at the moment. She's probably about 2 or 3 weeks out. You can have it. Shani and I cried. Poor Lindsay was there helping us shift, and we just broke down. It's just amazing how God had answered every little prayer that we had for our house. Yes, it wasn't in the country, but God had a bigger plan, and he knew the season that we were going into, that town was best for us. 2 months later, living at the Atwoods, we hadn't moved into our house. Delay after delay, sidetrack after sidetrack. Still having some choice words of God. There was a marriage breakup in the house. It got messy. And on Thursday, we finally shifted in. What a journey. Turned out to be a 6-bedroom house. And it had more than what we were expecting. But it wasn't the journey I was expecting. It wasn't the quick open the paper and God's just going to go wham, bam. And I believe God wants us to realize as a church that our journey to 2013 might not look what you think. There will be probably some speed bumps, some deviations along the way, but God's got a bigger picture. And we need to trust him for that. He's revealed our heart. He's given us a glimpse. And we need to be faithful and walking that out. One of the other things that Phil stated, that possession of a vision always occurs through community. You know, Phil can't outwork that vision by himself, that we all need to be united as one, pursuing that vision, because we want to possess it as a community. So we all need to get that into our DNA. And I think God wanted me to tell you that church is going to be like a restaurant over the next little while. You know, people go to a restaurant because they love the food. They love the atmosphere. They love the music. It becomes a bit of a stomping ground. It's their regular go-to place. And we have a great experience at those restaurants. But church isn't the restaurant. Church life happens in the kitchen. It's messy. You're going to rub shoulders with people. You're going to learn different people's characters and personalities. There is hard work. There is structure. There is stuff that happens in church, and real church happens in the kitchen. You see that when someone goes out into a restaurant and they drop a glass. What happens? Silence. Everybody's, ooh, and they all look. That's what happens in a church. Someone drops a ball and everybody goes, ooh, look what happens. But that's not church. Church happens in the kitchen, where we do life together, where stuff gets broken and damaged, but we all get together and we all clean it up. We all support the people. Okay? Church is an organization, and it also is an organism. There is, God has put structure into a church, but it is life as well. You can't have one without the other. Many people sign up for serving because they want the church, the restaurant experience, And then they end up in the kitchen and they think, this is not what it looked like. But the church, the kitchen is where life happens. And we need to realize that as we jump on this journey that God has given us, this vision, that life's going to happen in the kitchen. And I really feel that God's saying that, because as we get in the kitchen and do life together, we create space, an atmosphere that the community can come into and experience God's love. They can hear the word, they can taste it, they can hear, see and feel the atmosphere, and they want to be a part of it. You know, it's, we can't serve the community based off, look, this is what we do on a Sunday, it's all nice and it's rosy, because life happens in the kitchen. And we need to be real about that. My journey in our home, it sucked. It was hard. But I remained as best I could faithful and humble to God. I tried to remain as joyful and as peaceful as I could. And God showed his favor in different sorts of periods. But when we serve and we call as leaders to jump on, to come and help, doesn't look like this. This is the end result. A beautiful meal that's prepared in the kitchen where we rub shoulders and do life together. It's for our community to taste. For our community to sit down at the table. And we show them God's love. And we invite them to real life in the kitchen and rub shoulders with them. What excites me about Joseph's journey is that he battled it out in the kitchen. He went through that, but his family was saved. It was his family that reaped some of the rewards. We've got a big family out there that we can save. We've got a journey to go through in the next 13 years to see us being an influential part of, in this town, where they recognize the church as an integral part of this community and transformation and influence. But our journey is going to look a little bit rough at times, and we need to be faithful. We need to hold on. We need to understand that life happens in the kitchen, that we are going to probably rub shoulders and bang up against each other. And at times you might see a side of someone that you never thought. I never saw that out in the restaurant. Yeah. But let's be real. As we go on this journey as a community wanting to possess the vision that God has for us, life will get tough. But that's exciting, because the end result is our family will be saved. Our town will be transformed. Man, that's exciting. That's inspirational. That's why we should have these things on our fridge to remind us of the purpose of God's vision that we can put on our hearts and in our DNA. You know, oh, yes, that was tough, and not so-and-so. But God, I want to stay humble and faithful and committed. I want to stay committed to the family, because we can't do it on our own. Phil can't do it by himself. As adults, I believe we've forgotten to dream. I think we've had some of our dreams stolen from us and robbed from us. You know, we might not know where we fit in this picture. We might not know what it looks like. And I can't get the lid off my drink bottle. Right. But I believe God is saying that some of us have been plowing like an ox for a long time. Head down, bum up, forgotten to look up, forgotten to be able to be the eagle that God has called us to spread our wings and take flight. When you're an ox going through the ground, it's dirty and you've got a weight behind you. Generally, you're plowing. It's hard. It's dusty. You can't see too far in front of you. You can't see some of the obstacles coming your way. You can't see the enemy that's slithering through the ground like a snake coming to bite at your heels. But God's asking you to stop and breathe and take flight. Because when you soar like an eagle, you're up in the heavens. It's God's Spirit that holds you afloat. You see the eagles, they don't even have to flap their wings hardly. They're just in God's current. They can see what's coming up. They can see the vision. They can see the picture. They can see the work that has gone on behind, but they can see the enemy down below, and they can swoop in and take it out real fast and real easy. We need to, some of us need to stop plowing and allow ourselves to look up and to take flight. Because we get to this time of year and we think, flip, Christmas is in 2 weeks. I thought I was still in May. How many times do you hear that at the beginning? Christmas is 10 weeks, 5 weeks away. What? How did that get here so fast? Because we're plowing. We're doing life. And life needs to be done. There are times for that. But greater still is there times to fly. As a church, I want to encourage us to allow Phil to fly. To take some of the load that needs to be worked through, that needs to be pulled, and allow him to fly. That's going to be our greatest asset. Because when he's in up there with God, seeing what God has for us as a church, we're going to benefit from it. God's going to tell him, look out down there, go and take it out. And we can move through. So can I encourage you to allow full rest in the Spirit, time with God. If he's asking, hey, look, we want to get this community project done, someone pick it up. Take that responsibility. Allow him to fly again. That's going to be our biggest asset. But it's also a big asset for us is if we all fly. If we all allow God to speak to us and open our eyes and say, hey, this is where I want you to fit. You're all different. You're all unique. You're all amazing. You're all loved. Allow God to speak to you, your role, your part to play. Let God remove the blindness this morning. And let's partner as a community as we go towards possessing the vision that God has for us as a church. It's okay to stop and breathe. In fact, it's good to spend our time with God up in the high places. This morning, I really feel a couple of things. God is wanting to remove some blindness, some people that just don't have feel that they can see. Everything's foggy, everything's cloudy. We've been head down for so long that we've got so much dust in our eyes that we've forgotten what it looks like to fly and to soar and to spend time in his presence and to be able to see. I believe God wants to wipe that dust from our eyes and to restore vision. Is the other one. If you've had it stolen or squashed or told that you can't. Yes, you can't, but God can through you. Okay? So I believe God wants you to pick up those dreams and those visions, even if they seem miles too big. We've got a big God whose arms aren't short enough or arms aren't powerful enough that can reach out and do whatever God needs to do. So this morning I want to create the opportunity. Well, God wants to say to some of you, it's okay to fly, it's okay to stop. God wants to wash your eyes, wants to heal and restore you and to birth back into you old visions, to birth back into you new dreams if you haven't been able to and you don't know what that looks like. But in relation to God's call and vision for us as a church, you know, what is it going to look like for me in 2030? God, where do you want me to pull alongside Phil and the team? And how do you want me to be a place of influence in transforming this town? I think if we unite together and we go on this journey as a community into the possession of what God has for us, rubbing shoulders, doing life in the kitchen, you know, we will get to a place where we will be in a place of influence and transformation for his glory. For his glory. Man, I can't wait to see this town on fire for Jesus. I can't wait to see our youth in this town, hundreds gathering together because we are being faithful to God's call to transform, be a place of influence. So can I encourage you this morning to either come before God this morning, come up the front if you need to, invite you to, I'd love to pray for you, that if you have just been doing life and you feel like you haven't had time to breathe and that you can't see, you don't know what this is going to look like for you, you don't know how you're going to fit, can I ask that you just come forward and say, God, let me see. Help me to see. Also, if you want to come forward this morning and you've had a dream and a passion that you wanted to pursue but you felt it being squashed, come and lay it back at God's feet and allow Him to encourage you to say, that's His dream. You can do it. He can do it through you. Let's stand and pray. We can. God, I'm excited. I am so excited that you have revealed to us this revelation of your vision, this DNA that you have for us as a church, for this town, for the transformation, that your kingdom can come and be a great influence in this community. God, that is exciting. God, help us to unite together as a community, as a body of people who are prepared to push forward, no matter what it looks like, no matter where the detour or the road takes us, knowing that you are always there, knowing that your favor will always be there. But God, some of us are lost. Some of us are struggling to see. And so, God, I ask as people come forward this morning, as you've put it on their hearts and their spirit, that you want to restore their sight. God, I pray that people will position themselves this morning to be able to receive from you your dreams, your passions, to rebirth what may have been squashed, what the enemy has tried to take from you. God, restore that. God, I pray that you'll speak to every single one of us, because every single one of us is unique and amazing and have a role to play and are an integral part of what your plan is for this town. God, may we rub shoulders in the kitchen together and love one another, even while things get broken and hurt and there's mess. May we provide an opportunity to, as a body, that we can show our community your love and your passion and how invaluable that they are. And may they come into the restaurant, God, and experience your love, because it is your restaurant. It is your church. And so, God, may we have open hearts to hear from you this morning, open spirits. We thank you, we honor you this morning. God, we bless you in your precious name.
This morning, Jamie's opened the door and I'm going to drag you through it. Sometimes you've got to speak like a father. And I pray that you hear what I say in love, because that's my motive. You know, when I discipline my children, I'm discipling them. The word is the same. And God is saying to us this morning that part of the blockage is us. Some of you are holding on to this paradigm that you're a young parent and you're busy and your children are always running around your ankles, and you use that as a reason not to serve His kingdom. And God says, step out of that thinking, because that is not His thinking. Some of you are saying, well, I've had my day. I'm retired now. I don't need to. No, I need people like you in my life to speak wisdom. There are people here that need fathers and mothers in the house. You're never too old to serve God's kingdom. We need you. Some of you are like, well, I'm just going to check the church out, and if it sounds good and the food's good, I might come back. Well, if you're a visitor, I apologize. Because that's not how we roll. We're a family going somewhere. Part of me leading you means I'll drag you if I have to. Don't allow excuses to rob you of the destiny that God's got for you. Stop calling the enemy the problem when the problem is between your ears or in your heart. We've got to attack the problem from the right perspective. Yes, last week we talked about the enemy opposing us, and that is true for some of us. But sometimes we just need to call it for what it is. Sometimes I get on my face in my office before God and say, change me. Because I'm the problem. And only He can change me. But I've got to be willing, I've got to be repentant, and I've got to be open to what He says. So in this time at the end of the service, you get to choose how you respond. God is full of love and grace. God is wanting to lead us and guide us. God is willing to meet us where we're at. For those things that are broken, God can fix it. For those things that have been stolen, God can renew it. For those things that are dry and brittle, God can breathe life into it. Each one of us is a vision carrier. Each one of us is part of the solution. Each one of us is needed on the journey to move somewhere. We possess the promise as we travel as community. Let's get that music going, and we invite you to respond. If you're not comfortable coming to the front, find someone in the pew to pray for you. There's plenty of people that will. If you come to the front, you might want to do business with God. You might want us to pray for you. Either way is okay. Lord, we thank you. Would we be bold enough to pray, God, come and speak to my heart? Would we be humble enough to say, God, whatever you choose, I say yes to? It's A.W. Tozer that says you can't say no and Lord in the same sentence. Lord, would you have your way in us? Would you move us and shape us? Would you show us those lies that are holding us back? Would you give us the strength to step out of our circumstances and into your provision of the answer? God, where busyness is robbing us from the time you've got for us, show us what to prune off. God, would you empower us? Would you strengthen us? And would you lead us? We thank you that all the work you do is love. It's all in love. So, Father, would you release a revelation of your love this morning? Love that empowers, love that lifts, love that builds. There is no condemnation for us when we stand cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're righteous before God. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Holy Spirit, come and speak to our hearts. Father's going to release dreams today. Father's going to open up doors to promises today. Father's going to bring hope where there's hopelessness. But you're the gatekeeper.